We all watched in horror at the burning of the Cathedral of Notre Dame this week. I'm looking forward to making a trip to Paris this summer. I've never been. I'm so disappointed to have missed seeing it before it burned. And I do hope that the French people are able to restore it in my lifetime. One of the images that stood out to me was after the fire, there was the cross was still hanging. It struck me as a testament to the power of the gospel. The cross cannot be taken out of history. Tonight we remember the night before Jesus went to the cross, the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a Passover meal. It's a family meal. The apostles were there with Jesus. There were likely other disciples there, including women and probably children. Contrary to the Da Vinci painting of the Last Supper, they weren't sitting all on one side at a high table. They weren't there. They would have been reclining around a low table. The meal would have included a retelling of the Exodus story and four cups of probably watered-down wine. The cups each represent one of the I will statements from the Exodus 6:6-7. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you out. That's the cup of sanctification. And I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will deliver you. That's the cup of deliverance. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. That's the cup of redemption or blessing. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. I will take you. That's the cup of praise. It's likely that the cup Jesus uses to institute communion is the third cup, the cup of redemption, which is traditionally taken after supper. Jesus knows this is the last meal he's going to have with his disciples, the last opportunity to share wisdom and instruction with them. He knows that the next 24 hours are going to be agonizing physically, emotionally, spiritually. This is the last moment of calmness. You can imagine the urgency and desire to make the time meaningful. They begin the Seder meal recounting the story of the Passover, which we just read, in which the lamb that they had brought into their home and cared for 4 days is slaughtered. Now don't miss that the family has to bring in the lamb on the 10th day until the 14th day. This isn't an anonymous animal anymore. The children have cuddled with it. They probably fed it by hand. There's a cost to the sacrifice of the lamb, both in terms of the lamb's life and also to the family. The blood of the lamb is then put on the top and the sides of the door. When the Lord sees the blood, he passes over them, and their firstborn sons do not die. This points ahead to the Lord, the Lamb of God, Jesus, being slaughtered on the cross after having been among the people. When the blood is symbolically over us, God sees the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus and passes over us so we have eternal life. It is in this Seder meal that Jesus speaks of the bread and wine as his body and blood. While the words of institution are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians, I want to look at the Matthew version. It's in your little booklet there. Verse 26, now as you were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Only Matthew spells out that the blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins, and only Matthew includes the phrase, all of you. I think that's important. When you hear it in the Eucharistic prayer tonight, I want you to dwell on the implications of the phrase, all of you. The account of Jesus offering the bread and wine is nestled between the description of Jesus pointing out that Judas would betray him and Peter would deny him. It's important to see the connection between those three things. Jesus says that one of those at the table will betray him. Judas answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Jesus said, "You have said so." Now, Judas had spent years with Jesus. At one point, at least, he must have cared for Jesus. Perhaps at one point was even passionate about the gospel. When Jesus confirms that Judas will betray him, it's hard to not imagine that Judas might have had second thoughts. He hasn't abandoned Jesus yet. The accusation of Jesus is still ringing in his ears when Jesus turns to talk about the true meaning of the bread and wine. Jesus breaks the bread and tells all those at the Last Supper it represents his body that is going to be broken for them. Jesus then takes the cup. He gives thanks and he gives it to them. Can you hear him saying, "Drink this, all of you"? Well, looking at each of them, including Judas, with love, it's for the forgiveness of sins, guys. You can be forgiven no matter what you've done or what you are going to do. This is the new covenant promised by Jeremiah. I forgive you for what you've done and what you will do. Accept my sacrifice. It's being poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. It is for all of you who will accept it, to all who believe. Now, Peter's listening to these words and perhaps thinking he's good. He knows who Jesus is. And while he can't quite get his mind around that dying thing, he wouldn't betray him. Peter wants to be part of the new covenant. He wants to drink from the cup of redemption. A short time later, though, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter says to him, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." But he does. Now, in a lot of ways, a denial is a betrayal. Both Judas and Peter betray Jesus in their own way. They are both offered the cup, though, of redemption. "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Peter accepts it, but Judas does not. Even after he failed, Peter reconciles with Jesus as soon as he can. Judas dies by his own hand. We are given the same opportunity. We can drink from the cup of redemption and accept the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins, like Peter. Or we can turn away, like Judas. The choice is the same tonight as it was almost 2,000 years ago. I believe that Matthew is intentional in his placing the offering of the bread and wine as Jesus' body and blood between the accounts of Judas and of Peter. They represent the all of you. Jesus is offering his blood and a sacrifice for all of us. It's not an accident that the Eucharistic prayer in the Book of Common Prayer is based on the words of Matthew. Whenever you hear the words of consecration, be reminded that no matter what you've done or what you will do, this is the offer of forgiveness to everyone who believes. Listen closely. "For on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me.'" The liturgical name for this remembrance is anamnesis, which means active remembering. We aren't passive in our remembering or in our worship. We're active participants in the Paschal mystery. Tonight, the past, the present, and the future come together in a thin place between heaven and earth. We remember the Last Supper and the cross. We accept the bread and wine as Jesus' body and blood given for all of us for the forgiveness of sin as we eagerly await his final return. I'd like to end by praying the prayer of humble access together. Would you please kneel or stay seated? Take a few moments to remember God's saving act in the past for our present as we look to the return of Jesus in the future. Together, we do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose character is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.